Moncrief on News Talk.
As you know, today is Pancake Tuesday. Tomorrow is the start of Lent, which, if you're religious, is the beginning of a period where you might give up something you normally enjoy. But there will be people who don't have a religious bone in their bodies who do the same. There seems to be a widespread idea that abstinence is somehow good for us, one that the psychologist Stella O'Malley agrees with. Afternoon, Stella.
Yeah, I'm all for abstinence. I should practice it more myself, but I believe in the concept.
Okay, and why? Why is it good, do you think?
Oh, it's very good to give a bit of a self-analysis of what you actually need to watch out for, what you need to abstain from, what you need to kind of give up. And so it's kind of an opportunity. If you're saying you should give up, let's say, drink, and somebody else is saying they should give up chocolate, it's reflection on where they're at. And so it's actually very helpful to build self-awareness, because when somebody says, I know I need to give up scrolling on social media in the morning, that's their weak spot. So even if they crash and burn and they don't succeed very well in their giving up, they have brought attention to the fact that there is an issue and okay, they need to look at it.
Yeah, but they already know that before they decide to give it up. So
well, we kind of know it. We kid ourselves. The ability for the human to kid themselves is unlimited. And so they have thought, probably for a long time, oh yeah, yeah, I must sort that out, but I can, once I try, I can give it up. That's what we generally tell ourselves. And then when we do try and it's not so easy, it's often a shock to us, because yeah, we think we have it in hand.
Yeah. Can that though set you back to a degree then, if you try to go cold turkey from whatever it is, and then you fail spectacularly, they might think, oh, there's no hope, I'll never give this up. And then again, they kind of forget about it.
Well, it can. It can also set you back, and then you've clocked it and you've thought, generally, it'll come back at you. So when somebody else says it, maybe your partner or your friend or your relative says, you know, you've really got to do it, you've really got to deal with that, then there's been a second, you've already clocked it yourself. So self-awareness is generally good for us. Mm. So even if we figure out, oh my God, that was so much harder and I could never give that up, you've actually built on something in your life, because right up until that second, you thought you could handle it and you just needed to try and give it up. Already, you've kind of built some further point into it of, oh my God, I'm a bit out of control with that. And generally, most of us will revisit it because of that.
Yeah. And can this vary from person to person in their perception of what is bad for them? And I'm putting bad in inverted commas there, in the sense that, you know, person A can be sweating every night of the week because they've drunk so much. And person B says, well, I have a glass of wine on a Saturday and I'm really worried about it.
Yeah, massively. And some people are incredibly self-indulgent. So they think what they're doing is perfectly fine, while they're actually lowering way too much down their throat. So yeah, it definitely depends on the person, their background, their values, how they've been raised, what they've kind of brought in their own society, in their own company, of what they think is a problem. But I do think that the more people, I love the concept of Lent, because it's go on then, pick something. You've probably got something. You probably have a weakness. There's something about the challenge of that is good for us, because anybody who's saying, I've nothing to give up or nothing to take up, is probably kidding themselves. We all know that. We all know that we could all tweak something or other in our lives. And so trying and failing is better than not trying at all. And the people who don't try at all are arguably, they're opting out of a challenge. And it's a fun, it's lovely, because it's only 40 days. So it's like, it's doable. It's kind of, you can what's the word, white knuckle 40 days. Well, you should be able to white knuckle 40 days. Maybe not so much as smoking. Smoking has to be taken very seriously, and drinking. But anything else, oh, go on, you can try it. You know what I mean? You can.
By the same token, if we're going to consider doing something for Lent or for any period of our lives, can it also be something we should be doing rather than something we want to stop doing? By which I mean, you know, probably most of us say, I don't volunteer for anything, for instance.
Oh, I'd love that. You know, I tried to set up a youth club there a few years ago. I'm in Offaly in Birr. And, you know, the kids were there, but the volunteers weren't there. we've lost. We were a really strong country for volunteerism. GAA, obviously, really, really good examples. Also, trad music, very good on the volunteering. But it's fallen away because we work so much and because of our work schedules are no longer 9 to 5. So you can't reliably be there at 6 or 7 because you might be working. So the lack of 9 to 5-ish life has really impinged upon volunteerism. I really think it's something that we had and it's something we should treasure because it makes such a difference to a community. So if somebody took up volunteering, they should be beatified. I think it makes a huge difference to a community, especially, you know, those very fast growing communities that are like loads of houses very quickly. When you get a couple of volunteers, they can make the town. It makes a huge difference to a community if you get a few enthusiasts.
Mm, yeah.
You.
Yeah. Because in a way, by not doing that, that's, you know, you can also view that in and this probably includes the vast majority of us, you could view that in a negative light as well. That's up there with having bad habits.
Not volunteering.
Yeah, not volunteering. Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. And make an excuse that, oh, I'm too busy or I'm this, that and the other. The same way you can make excuses not to give up the old crack cocaine. And who hasn't done that? You know yourself.
The crystal meth, yeah. You know, I'd have a circle around that.
But also as well, that like do we tend to be, when it comes to giving things up, can we be a bit extreme about it? In that we almost like, you know, the way you kind of... somebody might have had a serious addiction and then starts going to the gym and that has all the hallmarks of a serious addiction. It's just not doing them any harm.
Yeah. And you know what? It's a healthier addiction than alcohol. So a lot of people do it and it's like, yeah, you've swapped one for the other, but honestly, you're better off. So keep at it, you know, crack on. However, I do think that if you can be aware that some people set themselves up to fail because they're too ambitious in what they want to give up. And so they don't manage, but they were always never going to manage because it was too wildly ambitious in their, what they were giving up. Mm. And then the second person is kind of an addictive personality. And so they go full on, like you say, they go from drink to Iron Man. And they go full on, and I often think it must be a nightmare married to them, but they need it for, we have to choose our poison and they need it, whatever gets you through. And arguably, well, very definitely Iron Man or running or whatever it is presumably a hell of a lot more healthy than the other addiction that they're swapping. And over time, the grand plan would be, and you would reduce the need to escape from your thoughts. Because that's probably what's driving it.
Yeah. People who then give up things for Lent, but they tell everyone about it. Is it better to just say nothing about it? Or because the, you know, the first option could be construed as a maybe display behaviour a bit. You're peacocking to people.
I'm all for telling everybody. And honestly, it's good for us because when somebody else says they're giving up, suddenly you're biting your lip thinking, oh, I should probably give up something. So it's probably good for us. And yes, it is irritating. It's like those people who tell you that they have to tell you that they've been to the gym.
Yeah.
Has anybody ever actually gone to the gym and not told somebody? I don't know if that's ever happened. But they do spread better living. So I'm kind of all for it. And it also locks you in. If you have told people, you're more locked into doing it. And it's very easy to forget. Imagine somebody today is listening and saying, I'll try and give up sweets. They fail by 12 o'clock tomorrow. And so then they forget all about it. Better you've told people. So I'm pro telling people. I'm pro speaking about it. And I love the concept of Lent is still a concept in Ireland. It's not in other countries. So it's a very good kind of healthy hit that we get from nowhere. Just about time, kind of ready for spring, ready for, you know what I mean, a kind of a tweak. So it's lovely. Everything about it works.
Say tomorrow morning, one of our listeners says, right, from tomorrow morning, as soon as they get up, no more chocolate. And then, of course, inevitably, no matter where they go, they're just seeing chocolate everywhere. They're hearing the word chocolate. The word chocolate keeps popping into their minds. Is there anything one can do to make yourself think less about it?
Yeah, there's a few things. You can definitely, you know, if you're going to give up chocolate or if you're going to, you know, sort yourself out, you know what I mean? As in, think about what are you going to do instead? because there's going to be regular habits. There's a great book called Micro Habits about how, you know, you have to sort out your micro habits so you don't lash into the chocolate inevitably. You know what I mean? Because there is certain habits that you have in your day that are pretty ingrained, and one leads to two, leads to three, and you end up with chocolate in your hand. And so that's where you have to think about that today, if you're serious, because, you know, giving up and setting yourself up to failure, it's pointless and it's a bit depressing. So you'd be better off thinking, I'll try one thing, and I actually will try it, and I'm going to think of substitutes. I'm going to think of substitute behavior. I'm going to put in a couple of things. You know, I'm going to have, for example, people who might want to cut down on drinking, and they're going to say, well, I'm going to get in some nice alcohol-free drinks with some kind of, I don't know, nice glasses, make a bit of an affair of it, make it nice so that they kind of are actually genuinely giving themselves a good stab at trying something new, trying a new way. Chocolate, it'll be energy. So what are they going to do for energy when they get their slump? Or it'll be feel good. The, you know, you kind of know why you're eating chocolate. And so what are they going to do instead? And some people will, it'll be sweets, but it won't be the poison or the addiction of chocolate. And that's a kind of a methadone to the heroin. And sometimes that works for some people.
Stella O'Malley, thanks a million for talking with us today. That was the psychologist, Stella O'Malley. Michael says, I worked with a man in Tala years ago. He would give up smoking during Lent. He would save the money and give it to charity. When Lent was over, he'd go back on the smokes. Jeannie Mac, fair dues to him. I'm an avid Irish winter abstainer. Just back from 3 weeks of abstinence in 20 degree plus sunshine in the Canaries. Harsh, I know, but I feel the better for it, says John. John, thank you for your sacrifice. You're an example to all of us. Owen says, Lent is a very interesting period of the holy calendar that can be mistaken as an opportunity for a diet plan. And someone else says, the hardest part of running a marathon is not telling people that you're running a marathon.
Moncrief, weekdays at 2 on News Talk. Conversation that counts.